Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to a line number two. Welcome a newcomer to the show. Her name is Bay McFarlane, and she's with profamiliesohio.com. And she's speaking on behalf of an organization called Mary's Advocates. And she's here to talk about what's going on in Ohio domestic relations courts with regard to divorce, specifically no-fault divorce. Bay, and that's how you pronounce your name, is that right? Bay McFarlane, is that correct?
That's right, Ed.
Thanks for joining us today. Tell me about Mary's Advocates. Yeah, I see you've been with that organization since 2004. What's that all about?
Well, I started it when I was a respondent, a defendant in a no-fault divorce, and I was just scratching my head because everything seemed so unjust. It just didn't seem right what was going on. And the more I learned, the more I saw that my inklings were correct. So I started to share what I found on the Internet. I started to build my own website. And for the last 14 months, I've been doing it full time. People are so interested in the message that I'm getting out that they're funding me to do this nonprofit organization full time. And Ohio law is unique. Ohio is not supposed to have what I call unilateral or forced no-fault divorce.
Forced no-fault divorce. Explain that to me. What are they doing?
Well, if two people are married and one person wants to renege on the marital promises, they'd want a divorce for no fault. The other party didn't do anything grave. Like if you're married and you're committing adultery all the time and you think you have the right to do that, your wife would actually have a legitimate reason for a fault-based divorce, which is on the books in Ohio.
Gotcha.
But if you're just a regular guy, and maybe she thinks you watch too many sports, that is not a grave problem. And yeah, it makes you disappointed, but it's normal life. It's like grow-up people. So in Ohio, when the legislators enacted no-fault divorce, they meant it to be something where both parties would agree to it. If both parties come forward and say, we both agree that we want to end our civil marriage, and we're not going to accuse anybody of extreme cruelty or adultery, then that would be an agreed no-fault divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But forced no-fault divorce is when, I'm just going to use a husband because that's the position of the article that I wrote, a husband doesn't want a divorce, he's not doing anything so severe to justify separation, and the wife can get the court to make the family split and have a divorce anyway.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on in the state of Ohio.
Well, that's what's happening in the courtrooms, though that's not what's on the books in the law.
What's
supposed to be happening is different than what's going on in the courtrooms, and I'm hoping that if the public knew about this, maybe some number of marriages could be saved.
Now, Bay, this happened with you, with your divorce?
My first attorney had me agree that we were incompatible on papers and an affidavit, but he never informed me that as a defendant, if I sign an affidavit saying we're incompatible, I've just essentially told the judge, I want a divorce, but he never told me that.
Okay. So because of that, you've taken on this crusade, and you're indicating to me that a lot of people are saying, you know what, there's an issue here. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, enough to pay my bills for the last 14 months.
That's good for you. Now, what about the legislators on this? Have you taken this down to Columbus and say, hey, you know, you got to rework this thing?
Well, the legislation in Ohio is fine, I think. The problem is it's not being implemented.
Okay.
So when I put together the new website of Pro Families Ohio, I just featured four of these issues that could be invoked if a party knew they existed. And you don't really even need a lawyer to do it. Like the first one I have up here is assert your innocence. If a wife complains that she should get a divorce because her husband is extremely cruel and grossly neglecting his duty, the husband can just say, wait a minute, that's not true. I deny those allegations. The case should be dismissed. I mean, that's a real option.
Yeah.
But instead, what happens, I believe, is that for whatever reason, the lawyers don't tell the parties these options exist, or they just coerce them into agreeing to something or other. And what's most sad about it, Ed, is someone feels coerced. For example, if you're a normal husband and you come home and your wife is gone and took the kids and she's somewhere and you don't know where she is.
Okay.
The normal husbands I talk to are devastated. I mean, in the old days, this is the kind of stuff that people would kill people over. And I'm not saying anyone should kill anybody, but I'm saying the level of injustice and heartache that a normal man experiences when his children are taken is enough to make tears to my eyes just talking about it. So this husband comes home. He calls, and he wants to see his kids. So what happens in divorce court is he will agree to some kind of written agreement where he'll pay his wife money so he'll get to see his kids. But the legislators in Ohio said that what that wife did is a first-degree misdemeanor. She's committing a crime. And any lawyer that is aiding and abetting her is committing another crime. It's called complicity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that law is not so bad. I mean, if a wife really wants to renege on her marital promises, shouldn't the innocent husband have the upper hand in how things get arranged?
Yeah, and that what that scenario that you painted for our listeners, that's going on right now, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, I've run into people who it's going on with. Have you over the years? The husband comes home and the wife's gone.
Yeah.
And it's not because he's beating her up and he's not committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
She's just, I call it wanting to renege on her marital promises. The other thing about Ohio that's interesting is in Ohio, marriage is defined as a contract. It's a contract of respect, fidelity, and support.
Mm-hmm.
So if a husband is committing adultery, well, guess what? He's reneging on his obligations that he promised to be faithful, fidelity.
Right.
So then in those situations, the wife does have a ground to get relief. And divorce is supposed to be a better scenario for her than humiliation and the scandal given to her children.
So the bottom line is, is it the judges on the courts? Is it the lawyers? Or is it both of them that are not interpreting the laws in the state of Ohio?
Okay, you know, this is Bay McFarland's opinion after talking to people on and off for 12 years about this. I think the attitude in divorce court is that everyone has a right to a divorce if they feel like it. It's like you have a right to get out of a marriage when you're unhappy, and we're going to help you. So the person who wants to keep the family together or the person who is who's counting on the other person to keep the marital promises is considered the bad guy. So I think it's a systemic attitude of lawyers and judges, and they just push everybody through their system. They might not know this law. They might not care. Months ago, I was interviewing police officers and prosecutors and staff people at the 8 county divorce courts in the Cleveland Catholic Diocese. And I asked them, do cases ever get dismissed because grounds don't exist? You know, if the man's innocent of extreme cruelty and gross neglect of duty, shouldn't the case be dismissed? Because he's not guilty of anything that's a grounds for divorce. And the answer I got is only one person told me they've ever heard of a case where it got, they even had a hearing about grounds existing or not existing. Instead, what they do is they drag everything out for a year, because being separated and apart for a year is a ground for divorce in Ohio. But then they skip the part that abandonment is a crime. And then they skip the part that there's a way to get financial help besides filing for divorce.
Yeah. Well, by the fact that they delay it obviously makes their case a little longer so they can charge more, too. That's the other part of the equation.
Oh, I know, because the lawyers make lots of money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If a husband and wife aren't talking to each other, they send an email or a phone call to a lawyer. He charges his quarter of an hour, you know, $7,500.
Uh-huh.
And he sends it to the other party's lawyer. Well, there's another $75. Then they go to the other party who answers. Then it comes back through two lawyers. So you've got four lawyers. You got $300 every time you have one little communication.
Mm-hmm. One more question here. Your case was in what county, the Cuyahoga County Court?
Yeah, we were in Cuyahoga.
Now, in your experience here, you've been on this for over a decade. You're finding this in other courts throughout Ohio, Toledo, Youngstown, Cincinnati. They're all pretty much the same. They're interpreting the law the wrong way.
I can't say I know that. There's one county that I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name. There's a part of Ohio law that says the court has the power to order parties to participate in counseling or go see a conciliation counselor whose job is to help people reconcile.
Yeah.
There is a court in Ohio that does that. And I talked to the conciliation staff person. He's in the legislature. You get what I'm saying? The legislators gave the county the authority to have someone on staff whose job is to help parties reconcile.
Yeah.
There is someone like that in one county in Ohio And he told me that he had like a 50% success rate of working with couples where they end up not getting divorced, even though one person filed for divorce once they get the right kind of help.
Yeah. Well, in other words, counseling does work, doesn't it? In a way. Let's see if we can preserve this marriage for the benefit of you, for the benefit of the kids. You know, what, there's a lot of things at stake in a marriage. Well, this is an interesting take here. Bay McFarland, thank you so much for joining us. And what's the best way to get more information? Just go to Mary's Advocates or what?
Yeah. If you can remember Pro Families Ohio, just Google that.
All right.
Or if you can remember Mary's Advocates, go look to the Defending Marriage part, Defending Marriage Against Divorce Ohio.
All right.
And then my contact information is on there, and more educational information about what somebody could do is on there.
Okay, profamiliesohio.com and marriesadvocates.org. Well, thank you so much. Keep up the fight. You got a good case here, all right?
Thanks, Ed.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, Joe Simperman returning not as a member of City Council, but the head of Global Cleveland. And Joe Calabrese is going to run down what's going on at the RTA with all those fare hikes. That's tomorrow. Until then, all of you have a wonderful day.
This has been America's Workforce, heard right here on WERE-AM 1490, courtesy of the American Workers Radio Network. Tune in every Monday through Friday for another hour of Worker Power with Ed Flash Ferris. America's Workforce is produced by Labor Tools, powered by BMA Media Group.